said, well, she said, all I can do is move it here, never to lift it. All of a sudden, everybody heard her shouting. The church runs around 400. Heard her shouting. She's waving on. She got out on the aisle. She said, Father, I can raise my hand, my arm. 5 years. God just healed. Amen. Isn't our God good? He's good, isn't he? I called the secretary just before I come up. I said, how many more were healed? She's told me different ones that were healed in the meeting. So we have a good Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, I told them, and that's the other group of churches wanting me to go into a ball stadium. And all. I said, wait a minute, I'm a missionary. I don't have time to do that. I said, the other church, the reason why, they've helped us and supported us for 35 years, and I dedicated the building. They had me go up and dedicate the building. And I said, I'm not interested in having the ball stadium meeting or none of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I have too much to do. But anyway, our God's so good. He's so good. And he just does wonders, and I stand amazed at his power. And, you know, today, he knows you're here. I'm going to speak on a subject. God knows who you are. God knows where you're at. And God knows all about you. Yeah. A lot of times we forget the Lord knows all about us. He knows who we are. And turn with me to John, the first chapter, the 40th to the 50th verse. And he knows all about us. Amen? One of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his brother Simon and saith unto him, we have heard the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, this is a little stone. I don't know how the Catholic Church say that the church is built on Peter, because Jesus said it's a rock, a huge thing, not a little stone. And the rock is Christ Jesus. The church is built on him, not on Peter. Peter is just a little old tiny stone, you see. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. It's amazing the power of Christ immediately. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, Bethsaida is, like I preached the last time I hear, it was called the town of fish. They were fishermen. Bethsaida in Hebrew means the town of fishes, the town of fish. And so that's why Andrew, Peter, Philip, they were all fishermen. That was their vocation. That was what they'd done for a living. Now, Philip find Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom the Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now, why did Nathanael say that? Nazareth had a reputation of an area where there were a lot of thievery. A lot of hungry people. A lot of people he didn't want to be around. They'd steal from him. And we know that there are areas in our land, especially I know places in Mexico where you don't go. You want to get robbed. Isn't that right, honey? Tepito. You don't go to Tepito. And right now you don't go to on the road south from Reynosa down to Mexico City, you don't go through San Fernando. You will not make it. The census will see that you're robbed, and you'll be lucky if you get out of there with your life. And Nazareth had a reputation not very well. A lot of thievery. A lot of angry people. You see, Jesus was raised up with people that needed to be changed. From a boy in a city that didn't have a good reputation. Nathanael said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? It had a reputation of being a town where thieves lived. People who were on the... And so Nathanael said, can anything? And Philip said unto him, now come and see. And so this is it. People can tell you a lot about Jesus, but until you experience him as Lord, come and see. You've got to try him, amen? You've got to accept him. Don't believe what other people tell you about him. You have to get to know him. He is Lord. He is Master. He is Redeemer. He is Savior. He is our wonderful, wonderful soon coming King, the Messiah. Amen. Come and see him. Now Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, how did Jesus know that? Well, he knows all things. You see, I talked to brother pastor yesterday. I said, when did Jesus become omnisciente? Omniscient. All right, knowing all things. How many of you know when you're young preachers, you make errors? Yeah. I was a young preacher, and before the satellites, you know, went up, and I was pastoring over in Riverdale, and I left out of here. Mom and I, we were youth leaders in 59 and up till June of 60. And June of 60, we went over to Riverdale and pastored, and Jack and Pete, they had old trucks, and they hauled me over there. And I had an old truck, and we moved over to a little old parsonage in Riverdale. They didn't even have a shower. You took the hose from out through the window and ran it on you. That was the shower we had in Riverdale. Of course, I was electrician. I knew building. I put in a bathroom. Amen. A shower. But that little church had 10 people, y'all know the story. I pastored over there for 2 years for one to meet you. And so I knew how to rough it a little bit. We had left our good home over in Huntington Drive, 1061 Huntington Drive, here in right near Cupertino, just one block out of Cupertino, and there in San Jose on Johnson, off Johnson, and left that pretty home and moved down to that parsonage, was a shack. And like I said, we didn't even have a shower. And just took the water hose outside and run through the window. But anyway, we just believed the Lord, trusted the Lord, and followed the Lord, and the Lord led. Amen? All right, getting back to Nathanael. Jesus, I'm omniscient, you know, he knows all things. All right, where did I mess up? Well, I preached the message. And Dad, you know, in the old church, Daddy had his seat. Sister Nails had her seat. And everybody had their seats, you know. Like I was telling Debbie, I said, I remember Daddy and Terry. They the two cute little blonde-haired girls. How many remember? Don, you remember them. They always sit alongside Sister Nail down here in the seat. And they'd sit on each side of her. Beautiful golden curls. Debbie and Terry, they're the cutest little girls. They sat alongside Sister Nail. Grandma, you remember that, Terry? You said, but Grandma. And they'd sit there and during service. But anyway, Dad was at the service and I was preaching and realized there's two things that Jesus didn't know. He didn't know sin, and he doesn't know the time he's coming back. And Dad said, son, he does know the time. You're wrong. I said, well, how come? I can't explain it to you, son, but he does know the time. And I just dropped it there, and I didn't fully understand it till I've been teaching in Bible school and studying a lot of books. Jesus became total omniscient when he died. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. But he didn't fully take that power until he rose from the dead. He didn't say, Daddy, come and help me fight Satan. He said, I'll whip him. I'll defeat him. And now he knows the hour he's coming back. Before he said, I know not the hour. But today he does. He knows all things. He knows you're here today. He knows you're seated here. He knows your needs. How many believe he's omniscient? Amen. He knows all things. And he does know the hour, but when he told the disciples he didn't know the hour, because he hadn't taken on the fullness. But when he took on all the power and all the glory and all the dominion, when he rose from the dead. Amen. And he's an all-powerful Lord today. Amen. And he knows all things. All right. Also preached one time, nah, you'll never get to space. You know? I said, the psalmist said, the earth belongs to man and the heavens belong to the Lord. They'll never get up to this moon. Well, I was wrong, wasn't I? I remember I was preaching in Kentucky, and one of the preachers said, ah, Brother Kincaid, they didn't ever get there. I said, what do you mean? Oh, they didn't get there. I said, I happen to know James Irwin. Now, James Irwin went to Campbell High School. Charles Irwin was his brother. Charles Irwin was our, 1952, he was our, what do you call it, valedictorian. That was the brother of James. And I happened to meet James Irwin, who later became an astronaut, who later was called to preach on the moon. He said he looked down the earth and God called James Irwin to be a preacher. He was a Baptist preacher, evangelized, good man. But he, of the forces of space and all that, he had the heart attack. But anyway, I know that sometimes you make errors. And as a young preacher, you do sometimes. But Nathanael, Jesus said to him, you are a devout man. And naturally, Nathanael, he liked that. How many like to be told you're a good person? Yeah. No one likes to hear one say you're a scoundrel, you're a louse. Now, you don't win people that way, isn't that right? You're good for nothing, lazy. Oh, you don't win nobody that way. Jesus said to him, you're an Israelite indeed. You follow the law. You're a good man. There's no guile in you. Nathanael thought, well, that's a pretty good man there. He'd tell him that he was a devout man. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Now, this is the beautiful part. And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, what does that mean? I didn't understand this until I began to teach in Bible school and began to read a lot. The custom of the Israelite women was like all the countries of the world. The women always harvest the crops. I remember when Delilah and I went to Israel and Turkey. We so noticed it in Turkey. They were harvesting. Women were out there harvesting the crops in Turkey. We happened to go while there was harvest on in November. We visited Israel and then went into Turkey. All the women were working, carrying baskets. And I don't know what it was. They carried us and all the women working. What happened when Nathanael, when he was a little fella, his mama helped harvest figs. And he was put in a little basket and hung on the fig tree. And Jesus said, I saw you in the picture. Amen. Saw you as a little boy. How many believe God's got our hand, his hand on? I'll tell you, if I believe with all my heart. It's a lie. I said, I didn't want to be a missionary. My mom and dad pastored in Northern California back in the 30s. We liked to starve. I remember one time we got 11 cents in tithes. Sure, maybe you could get a loaf of bread for 2 cents and a quarter of milk for three. You remember back in the Depression times, things were very cheap. And the number one prayer request was pray that my husband will get a job. There were no jobs. Well, I know Mom and Dad went out and we picked prunes, we picked almonds, we picked everything. And I'd be there with them in the little bucket. But anyway, that was the 30s. And Dad was preaching, and we had people in the church, and most of them were Okies and Arkies. And where did they live? They lived in tents. How many remember the back in the 30s? Don, do you remember? When did you come to California? 39? Ah, you didn't see the times of the tents. Back in the 30s, that was the tent times. And I remember tents everywhere. When Dave was a little boy, he very little. I came to the Campbell Church on a fellowship meeting from Ray Street in 1941. How old are you, Brother Dave? 75? 74. Okay, take it back. He's a little fella. And his mom was here, and I don't know if Mobley was the pastor or Brother Hall was the pastor, one of the two of them. But I come out here to a fellowship meeting. Did Campbell have a bathroom? No. They had an outhouse right in the back here. Everybody went to an outhouse. Did they have a real fancy church? They had a lean-in-to building falling down. It was a mess. But the economic situation hadn't really taken hold. You remember, my mother, when we arrived and Daddy's health had gone, he couldn't work. They gave up the church in Chico that they were raising up and came to San Jose in latter 41 before the big war started. And Mama went to work at the hospital because Aunt Alice happened to have a position at the hospital and got her on there. She got $49 a month. Woo, big wages. I was saying the other day, I talked to Lloyd's son, and he said to me, I said, Earl, I'm an electrician by trade. And I said, what if I was working back at Local 32, what would I make today? He said, $51 an hour. Woo! I said, you mean I make $2,000 a week? He said, yeah, a little older. And you used to be foreman, you'd make more. You'd be making $2,200 a week. I said, well, I preach for Jesus, and I only take $2,000 a month. That's all I do. That's all we've done in the last 20 years. I said, don't need any more. I put it into the work. Because I'm going home to glory, and I'm investing over there. You see, Christine gave her last offering, what was it, 3 weeks ago, in a check to help in Africa. That's the greatest thing you can do. He says, when you invest in the kingdom of God, don't buy some evangelist a jet airplane. No, no, no. None of that. No, no. You invest into something, building a church, establishing a Bible school. Monday I'll be talking at the funeral for Lloyd. And like Delilah said, I knew him in 47 at Ray Street. Not 47, 43 at Ray Street Church. And just kids. But he became very wealthy, got into business and the electrical trade and all that, put his business in South County Electric, and God blessed him. And God, and we hadn't seen them for 30 years. And then they called the Campbell Church back in 2003. They said, we have had a vision of Skip and Delilah. Are they still missionaries? And the Campbell Church said, yes. I don't know who gave them that. I don't know yet which one of you people told them. They said, yes. Might have been Chris. I don't know. Yes. Whoever the secretary was, yes, they're still there. Here's their phone number. And he called us. He said, Brother Skip. He said, who's this? I said, can you tell who's talking? I listened while I said, I don't know who you are, but you're one of the Martin boys. He said, you're right. They had Clyde, Lloyd, and Jim. They used to be all contractors here in the Santa Clara Valley. And they said, hey, God's given us a vision of you guys, and we can't get out of our head. We're going to come down and see you. They drove. We've got a new car. Well, I thought maybe a Ford or Chevy, but it's a new Lexus. They paid $76,000 for it and drove it down there to see us, you know. And but Lloyd and them, we live in a trailer house. And I said, well, we'll get you tonight a nice room over here at the hotel. Oh, no. Can't we stay with you guys in the trailer house? I said, sure. You see, good people don't need things fancy. How many say amen? I don't care if you're a millionaire or a pauper. Good people are good people. And they said, could we stay here with you? Sure. They thought we only had one bathroom because we have two bathrooms. We have a double-wide trailer house. So we have two bathrooms. And I said, okay, wonderful. And they stayed with us for a week, went over to the Bible school. And I didn't have a roof on our big chapel. Brothers preached it there. He knows it'll hold 800 people. It's a big chapel. And we had our graduation in 2002. And our 2003 it was, the graduation is in May. And I said, well, Lord, if you want the sun to come down and cook us some more, we're sweating, you know, having our suits on there and the gowns and all. I said, I don't have the $25,000 to put the roof on this thing, but you know. And that fall, the Lord called and said, God told me to come and help you. Well, he comes down and taking out the Bible school. He looks around and he says, I want to finish this for you. I want you to put the bathrooms out there. He said, God told me to give you $40,000. Praise God. Now, that's God. That's God. And one thing about it, when you invest in preachers, every year we produce from 10 to 15 preachers. They're going out, and they are in the ministry right now. And they're winning souls. And you're going to receive in the harvest of those souls. This church has helped us, and Don's helped us, and other people have helped us here. You are going to receive a reward in the souls that these 15 kids will win. Every year we have a turnover. And so we see thousands of souls. And this is what it's about. You want to reach souls.
Yes.
You don't want to buy an evangelist a jet. None of that stuff. No. You want to win souls. Get them in the kingdom of God. And this is what it's all about. And what Chris is rejoicing, her last thing she did was give Petey money to help with children in Africa. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's wonderful. That's what it's all about. And so, Nathaniel, he said, man, this guy knew when I was a baby. Jeremiah, I believe it was, said, he knew me in the womb of my mother. He called me. Friend, there's just something about the touch of God. Some people he calls as a child. Some people, they're not really touched until they're 35 or 40 years old. And maybe some a little later. But praise God, when they open their eyes and realize there is the Messiah. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. When we are touched, immediately we recognize, we say, oh Lord, you are my King of Kings. You are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my soon coming King. I worship thee. Hallelujah. I adore thee. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Amen?
Amen.
So we realize that Jesus, who was the Nazarene from Nazareth, not a Nazarite. A lot of people get confused. What is a Nazarite? Let's go over to Numbers, the sixth chapter. And they say, well, Jesus, he made the vow of having long hair. No, he didn't. He was not a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene from the city of Nazareth. And you see, he couldn't be a Nazarite for many things. You read it, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried grapes. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree. All right, how could Jesus turn the water into wine? And I know it was grape juice, but it comes from grapes. If he had the vow of the Nazarite. You see what I mean? He did not take the Nazarite vow because he turned the water into wine or into a grape juice with a very light alcohol content. Amen? So that shows he didn't take the Nazarite vow because also he wasn't allowed to get close to a dead body. What did he tell Lazarus? Come forth. Amen. He got near the tomb and said, come forth, Lazarus. And a Nazarite wasn't allowed to be near a dead body. So that's the reason why a Nazarene and a Nazarite are two distinct things. Amen. But Jesus changed Nathanael's life. Let's go over and see about it. John, go on to John, the 21st chapter. Amen. John, the 21st chapter, and the second verse. Did Nathanael remain faithful? You don't read a lot about Nathanael in the book of Acts. You don't even read that he was a great evangelist. You don't read anything in the book of Acts. But you see him here after the crucifixion. And after these things, Jesus showeth himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showeth he himself. They were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Well, it must have helped.
Yes, it did.
Amen. He must have met the Master and it held.
Glory.
How many say amen?
Amen.
There was Nathanael with Peter. John, still serving Jesus. Now, he was like a lot of you Christians today. far as notoriety for the Lord, you don't lead services, you don't preach, you don't teach, but you follow the Master. You're there. When he says, you love me, sure, Lord, I love you. I'm here. When the offering passes, you put in your tithes and offering. I'm here. Lord, I'm here. I love you. That was the thing. He's like, about 90% of our believers. Faithful. They're following Jesus. In the book of Acts, you don't hear him mentioned. He didn't have any great revivals. But he was there faithful. He was a backer. Oh, how we need good backers. Isn't that right, Pastor? We need people that are there. That are going to back the program of God. You know, I may not be up preaching, but you're here. Following Jesus. He can look out and say, well, there they are. They're faithful. They're faithful. Amen. How many are like the bender today? Hallelujah. I don't do a lot. Maybe I should do more, but I'm here. I'm faithful. And that thing you can say, I found the Master. And he's been faithful. Followed him and he's been faithful. Amen. Oh, friend, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like the Lord. There's no one that can do things like the Lord. I remember I was down with Brother Lloyd after I left here. I went to see Brother Lloyd and in his house, and he had some people coming. See him and then introduce me to him. And there are people that were leaders over there. And some of the leaders, I don't know. I believe Melba knew him. I forgot Brother Ian's or Iser. And Lloyd said, Skip, says, tell him all those miracles. Said, Lloyd, he's gave me a... two tape recorders and said, you've got to write a book. You've got to write a book. And I said, Lloyd, I don't have much time. Please, you've got to write a book. What's going to happen to all those stories? Friend, I have so many missionary stories. But this is one of the cute ones. Years ago, I went into the Indian show. He said, tell him about that one, the little Indian boy. I said, okay. So I started in telling. Before I get done, we're all crying, you know. And I went into a village. I rode a horse and walked for miles. I was the first white man in many Indian villages. Like I told you, that little girl come up to me and she punched me and says, Horta King. Now, Horta's brother. She'd say, in the Chinateco Indian language, Horta's brother. I don't know, Mata. I said, Nina Katajichi Kondahi. God bless you in their language, you know. And I know how to say a few things in the Chinateco language. I know how to say a few things in Mazateco language, a few things in the Toxia language. I tried to greet them, you know. Dios chapot bendición. Now that's the Toxia Chimunda language. You greet them that way. And I know how to say a colorado is thank you and different things, you know. But I was there with the Chinatek, and this little guy said, what a king, and he just rattles on. And I said, what? And the man said, well, Brother King, my German said, you remember Brother King came last year? That little boy that was crawling through the mud with little tiny skinny legs like that. He couldn't walk. And he walked through the mud. It had been raining. And he's coming to church in this high school. He was 9 years old, but he came to church like this. He had to crawl through. There were no. Every house was palm leaf hut, and the church was a palm leaf hut. The trails were full of chicken manure and turkey manure. The poor little kid, he had legs full of mud and manure. And his grandma
He knows all events. The threat of night. A lot of times we just have to turn to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through. But you know that. I don't understand about my kids. They don't want to serve God. But Lord, you can touch them. You can reach down and touch them. And He can do that. so much. They helped open their house to us, and we just love them. And he, old Jim, now Jim and I went to high school together, and he's going to haul us around tomorrow to go down to Gilroy. Appreciate Jim. I'm taking you down here. We just love everyone of you. If you're new here, this is home church. We love you for coming. We thank you. It's going to grow more. It's growing, isn't it, brother?
Yes, it is.
We know a lot of people are gone today, a lot of the young people. I know that their son and the singer, Watery, the little ones, they're off. And you know, they're down on vacation right now. Other people are vacation. I pray they have a good vacation. So we miss a lot of the younger ones today. But if you're new here, this is a wonderful church. They're a wonderful bunch of people. And we just say, come on back. Amen. And God loves you. Jesus loves you. And we just want to stand our feet now. And let's just raise our hands as we're being dismissed. Tonight we'll be praying more for the sick. And Pastor, you dismiss us here.
He was going to try to get away without me taking an offering. Because he leaned over to me and he said, please don't take an offering. I said, well, you're not pastor, but I honor you. Yesterday when I was having some fellowship at Jim and Debbie's, where Skip was there, and he was telling about how they sleep in a certain place and they didn't have a heater. And I asked, how much are those heaters? And he said, they're about $300. I'd like us to buy four of them, and we're going to need about $1,000. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to ask you how many would like to, if we gave him the money, he wouldn't take it, he'd put it back in the work, but I'd like to at least raise $1,000 for some heaters so they're not cold at night. They don't have cold weather like we do, but they do have times when it's cold. Am I right here?
Well, at the Bible school.
Can you use some heaters?
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's all we need to know. Can you use four of them?
No, three. We have one.
All right, three. I'm going to ask you, different ones could give $100. And if you can't give it all today, then by next Sunday, or just mark it on there, heaters for Brother Skip. That's my wife telling me she's on her way home. But how many will help us here? And Father, we come to you now. And Lord, I'm asking for 10 people that would give $100. And Lord, that it will go to the work. Brother Skip, Lord, they don't come any finer of missionaries. And Lord, we know, Lord, that I've been there in their home. I've seen what they live in. And Lord, they truly do put forth treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. Lord, this church has such rich heritage. And Lord, we want to keep those blessings ongoing, and they happen when we give to you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, how many would lift your hand and say, I'll give $100? I just want to get an idea. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. And if you can, then we appreciate it. Just mark it special, and the Lord will know. Now, Father, bless everyone that can give. They can't give that, Lord. Their heart's in it. And, Lord, I know they'll do what they can. Lord, bring us back tonight, believing you for your goodness. Ushers, would you come, and let's just take an offering while we can. And praise the Lord. Brother Bob, would you ask God's blessings?
The love that they showed this church, and
the people here that love them and like to support their work, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to continually to bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget to come back tonight and bring someone with you. I believe God's going to do some healings tonight.
Amen.
And he's going to do some miracles. He's not out of them. Praise the Lord. Would you turn to the person next to you and greet them? And we'll see you soon.
This is the fella.
Dr. Sherlock Bowden.